Morning, friends.
Good morning.
One of my favorite photos is of a beautiful woods with a path of pine needles that wind around through it. The scene is so incredibly peaceful, and the trees are in full color because it's a picture that's in the autumn season. The path looks so inviting. And every time I see this picture, I actually feel drawn into the scene, wanting to journey down that path. I think it reminds me of the woods where I grew up in southern Ohio. My father had created a path through our 11-acre wooded property that my brothers and I could just run outside and explore. The only rule, for reasons that you now understand from the children's time, is that I had to have a brother with me so that I could get back home. He painted white circles on some trees along the way so that whether we were coming in or going out, we would always have a sign and be able to find our way home. That fall picture, the one with the leaves that are so beautiful, it draws me to it in a similar way. In that picture, the path takes a turn way off in the distance. There's no way to see what's around the corner on that path through the woods. And unlike my childhood path, there are no white circles on the trees there to tell me that it was going to be okay, to keep going, or to assure me that I would be able to find my way back home again. Today is the second Sunday of Lent, and we are on a journey. Because we've walked this Lenten path before, we know that it will lead us to the cross where our Savior died. And we also know that this journey ultimately takes us to the empty tomb of Easter. We know that. But I'm getting ahead of myself. At week two, we're just getting started on this path. We've got a long road ahead of us. So far, we have gotten some dust on our boots. Do you remember our Ash Wednesday service? We talked about ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And we've talked about the temptations that we often face with Pastor Hoyt last week. Today, we're going to explore the hike just a little bit more. What's it like to approach that curve in the path? One that leads to who knows where in our lives. And how is this Lenten journey different for us than the journey that we've taken in years past? That exploration begins today in our reading from Psalm 121, a psalm that we just read responsibly together. Psalm 121 is called a Psalm of Ascents. It was a psalm that was sung as the Israelites would journey to the temple. And since the temple in Jerusalem is up on a hill, on a big plateau, the journey was uphill no matter how you got there, no matter which direction you came from. This is also a psalm that I used a lot in my ministry as a hospital chaplain at Fairview. Many of the patient rooms at Fairview were intentionally built overlooking the metro parks. It was very common for me to come visit a patient there and have wonderful conversations while overlooking the hills and the valley. There was always life to be found, from the winter's owl that would perch in the large pine tree by the employee entrance, to the deer scavenging the woods for food, to the eagles soaring overhead from a nest nearby. Each of these rooms had a picturesque view that reminded us of life and hope and beauty, even when the journey in the room was hard. And it was a perfect introduction to this psalm. Verse 1 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Reading this psalm at a patient's bedside would remind both of us that God is our eternal helper, and the stories of God's love and care and provision would begin to pour forth as we shared our time together. what I want for us today. That's what I want for us here. Today's message is not a teaching moment, though I know that each of us are going to learn something. I'm not a fancy preacher. I'm simply a sojourner on this journey, on this path with you during Lent. This season of the church year is one of my favorites. This intentional schedule, 40 days, which doesn't count Sundays, creates a sacred break in the midst of our regular church year worship. We are invited to walk step by step on this path to approach the unexpected curves and turns in our lives and to invite God to walk alongside us in an intentional way. Another of my favorite psalms, Psalm 84:5, says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, God, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage." And while we aren't making a pilgrimage per se to Jerusalem, we are on a journey of our own during this Lenten season. Some of us come to this journey worn out and just plain tired. Today's scripture can remind us that we can rest assured in its promise that God will keep us in the comings and goings of this life that can leave our souls so weary. It's my hope that in sharing these few moments as fellow pilgrims together, we may each find encouragement along our way. I'm wondering, as we did the responsive reading today in the psalm, I wonder what jumped out for you. Did you notice how many times it uses a form of the word keep? It appears 6 times in just 8 verses. And I wonder what it means for us that God is your keeper. I'd love to hear your stories, so pull me aside sometime and tell me your thoughts. Sometimes we wrestle with these words and with the idea of God keeping God's people. Verse 3 says, "God will not let your foot be moved." Some may read this and think it means that God will never let anything bad happen to you. Yet our experience and the experience of believers throughout history tells us otherwise. Because we've all endured hardships, we know that bad things can still happen to good people. We share those concerns right here every week during our prayer time. So if the promise isn't that nothing bad will happen to you, what do you think the promise from verse 3 is? For me, I believe the promise is less about our feet and more about God's faithfulness. Even in the hard times of life, our God still holds us and keeps us. We're reminded that in Romans chapter 8, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We can't get lost. Nothing in this world has the power to overcome us when we abide in God. And I thank the choir for singing that beautiful, beautiful anthem today, "Abide in Me." I am reminded of the great redwood trees in California that grow hundreds of feet into the air. I walked a path there one time and hugged one of those trees while I was there on retreat. They can grow so tall and so large because their root systems intertwine with the roots of the trees next to them. They literally hold each other up, which I find to be fascinating. When I read the words, "God will not let my foot be moved," I picture the stability of being this grounded in my faith, of my abiding with God and God's faithfulness and the faithfulness of you, each of you, my fellow sojourners, helping to hold me up. In verse 5, we read, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand." Your shade. That same word is translated in other psalms as shadow, as in the shadow of God's wing. It is a comforting presence and an affirming assurance. This shadow is a protective certainty that you are on the right path. Just like those white circles on the tree that I needed back home. It is true that sometimes shadows are depicted in the world as evil. But in a desert culture, the shadow of the tent or the temporary shade of a cloud overhead would be a blessed relief from the burning sun. We can embrace our shadow moments, and we can relax in God's grace. Each of us can remember a time that we got through something not by our own strength, but by God's strength. Our daughter's recent health scare during her pregnancy was one of those times for me, personally. It was an event that was beyond my control. My faith led me to the shadow of God's wing, a place where I could pray, a place where I could rest, a place where I could remember the many ways that God had been faithful in my life in the past. And by remembering the past, I was helped me to begin to trust that God would again be faithful, in keeping me, in keeping Emily, and in keeping little Claire May, who at the time was yet to be born. I wonder what your stories of God's faithfulness have been, and where you go when you are looking for peace from the difficulties and chaos of life. The psalm continues to offer us healing as it concludes. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. I don't know what each of your Lenten journeys look like today. If you are filled with joy this morning, then tuck these words away for another day. But I imagine that some of us are simply tired in this season of life. Perhaps tired of the fighting, tired of the hurt, tired of the mundane routine, tired of feeling the way you do about you fill in the blank. If you are feeling this way, this psalm is for you. You don't have to carry the hurt or the monotony or the burden all on your own. As the psalm says, our help comes from God, who will not let whatever you're carrying overwhelm you. If you have companions on the journey, those beside you, the ones with whom you shared the passing of the peace this morning, those people will come alongside. People who can help you find the white circles on the trees that will lead you back home to the shade that God offers to us. Let us pray. Generous God, thank you for being our guide on life's journey. We can't imagine where we would be without you guiding our path, sometimes before us, sometimes beside us, sometimes behind us, nudging us in the direction of the journey that you have for us. Thank you for caring for us and for being our constant companion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.